Praise the Lord. Today's message is titled, Teach Us How to Pray. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Again, that's Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now this prayer here and is commonly called the Lord's Prayer and is recorded also in another portion of Scripture in Matthew. And it's a little bit longer and worded just slightly different and is the one that we typically think of. Matthew records that it was during the Sermon on the Mount while Jesus is giving a discourse on prayer. And I want to read to you what he has to say, but I want to read it from the complete Jewish Bible. And this is in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. And we're going to get into a little bit more than just the prayer, because here is what is leading up to this. And he says, When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, who love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people can see them. Yes, I tell you, they have their reward already. But you, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble on and on like the pagans, who think God will hear them better if they talk a lot. Don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. You therefore pray like this, Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us the food we need today. Forgive us what we have done wrong, as we too have forgiven those who have wronged us. And do not lead us into hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. For kingship, power, and glory are yours forever. Amen. So what about prayer? You know, are we just to, when we pray, are we just to repeat the Lord's Prayer and leave it at that? And I know that there are a lot of people out there today that really probably the only prayer they really know, well, maybe they know a couple, but one is the Lord's Prayer, and they've seen it. You know, there's plaques that you can buy with the Lord's Prayer on it, and you can get this or you can get that or the other that has the Lord's Prayer on it. And some people, that really may be the only prayer they know. You know, sometimes you may be watching a movie, and the people get into a situation where, you know, they need to pray. And what do? They recite the Lord's Prayer always. And there's nothing wrong with reciting the Lord's Prayer, but there's more to prayer than just reciting the Lord's Prayer. He's actually giving us that prayer as an example of how we need to pray, and we're going to get into that a little bit more as we get deeper into the message. Well, what about other religions and their forms of prayer? Just to give you some ideas, because he said, don't pray like the pagans do. For example, Muslims, and we hear a lot about Islam and Muslims today, and they go through a ritual before they pray. They go through a cleansing before they pray, and they have to do certain things before they pray, and their prayers must be performed a certain way. In fact, I was looking it up, and there are 14 steps to formal prayer, and there are 5 times a day that prayer should be performed. So they've got a lot of stuff they go through. Okay, let's talk about Buddhists. We don't hear a lot about Buddhists too much, although you kind of hear some of it in sneaky ways, you know, because they don't really have what they say is prayer. Because what we would consider a Buddhist prayer would be chanting certain phrases or mantra and meditation. And some of them may use a Tibetan prayer wheel, which contains tiny scrolls. And that's actually a little wheel that they spin, and the scrolls are in there, and it contains these things. Or how about Hindus? When they pray, that's considered to be an integral part of the Hindu religion, and it consists of, again, the chanting of mantras, and in the most popular form of worship in Hinduism, yoga and meditation. And we hear a lot about yoga anymore, you know, and a lot of people, in fact, actually, they've got what they now call Christian yoga. And it's in some of the churches, and you'd be surprised at some of the churches right here in the greater Nashville area that have yoga classes. And I was shocked when I found out some of them that had yoga classes. It was an article that was in, I believe, the Tennessean just a month or two ago about that. And this is part of it. I know I had to go to some classes a number of years ago, and one of the things that they wanted us to do was sit there, and we had a time of silent meditation. Well, I tell you, that scared me to death almost to have to sit through that silent meditation, because I don't know what they're planning to do right there. So I'm praying, okay? I've got some silent prayer going on, but it's not the kind they're talking about, you know? And Jews, if they're really Orthodox, will pray three times a day, morning, noon, and evening. And they pray, and this is from a rabbi. They pray before they recite their prayer, before they eat, they pray or recite a prayer. Before they drink, they recite a prayer. Before they study the Torah or Talmud, they recite prayers. After they eat a meal, they recite grace after the meals. You know, one thing I went to a number of years ago in a religion class I was taking, we had to go to a house of worship of a religion that was different than what we were used to. And my professor was a Jewish rabbi. And so we went to a Jewish service. And one of the remarks that they made there at the service was, because like the one we've talked about here that some of us go to once in a while up in Franklin, he was mentioning that they had a meal after the service. And he said, we pray after we eat. And I sometimes think that may be a good idea, because we really may need it more then than we did before the meal, you know. But anyway, they will pray before and after they have their meal. And they may have washing their hands as they recite a prayer or so on. There's just all kinds of things that they can recite a prayer for. But sometimes I wonder, does that begin to fall into some of this category of just doing it out of routine? You know, we think about familiar prayers, you know. What's one of the first prayers you probably learned as a child? Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And there's a lot of adults out there that probably don't know any prayer other than that one and maybe the Lord's Prayer. Or there is one other one. God is good. God is great. And I can't remember exactly how. Let us thank him for the food we... whatever it is, you know. And I remember, and this is would seem kind of strange, but back when I was growing up in Southern California, there was a program that was on every day. It was a kids program, and it was hosted by a character called Sheriff John. He had the breakfast brigade, the lunch brigade, and the dinner brigade, I guess it was, because it was on three times a day. And apparently, Sheriff John was a Christian. And Sheriff John said the blessing as they had their little meal that he had with the kids as they had their lunch or their breakfast. And they said a prayer, and he actually said a prayer over each meal. And I thought that was fantastic. You wouldn't find that today on TV, I'll tell you. You know, but they had sometimes somebody that had to fill in for him, and when that person had to fill in, it was God is good, God is great. You know, but anyway, Those are prayers that we learn as kids sometimes, and sometimes even as adults, we don't seem to grow out of that type of prayer. We sit down, and if we say a prayer over a meal, it'll be the same prayer every time. You know, we get into a routine of these things. Well, let's go on here. We're not children anymore. I mean, Sam's still a child, but the rest of us are almost adults. It's time we need to grow up and get out there and learn how to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard much in their speaking." And that's what a lot of us do as we're doing that. We're using these vain repetitions. In fact, we can go through it so fast that it comes down to, and I used to get teased at one time about, you know, saying graces, and it got down to Jesus, amen, you know. Because you were so used to, you hit the first and the last word, and that was it. You know, that's good enough. Jesus, amen. You know, and we kind of get like that even as adults sometimes. We want to get in there and just use that repetition. And we think the louder we pray and the more we pray the same. And of course, here in America, we've got to pray in that good old King James English. And we've got to make sure we put a lot of these and thous and wherefores and thou arts in there, because God doesn't understand us unless we play in King James English. You know why your prayers aren't being answered. You didn't pray in King James English. You know? And we don't talk like that. I remember, and some of the folks here know the person I'm talking about. He'd get up to pray, and I kid you not, he switched to King James English in his prayers. "Our dearest Heavenly Father, thou art whateverest," you know? And he put an est and a thus and a thou on there, everything, you know, just about. But we feel we've got to do something like that. But we get up and we've got to make almost a performance out of our prayer sometimes. Well, we need to pray like we're talking to a friend. The Bible tells us that God, Yahweh, is our Heavenly Father. It tells us Jesus, Yeshua, is our elder brother. They're family. In fact, it tells us in there, when we become a born again, and I stress the words born again, Christian, we are adopted into the family of God, and we are now part of God's family. So we're talking to family when we pray. And let's face it, if you called up a family member and you started talking to them in King James English, they'd probably be calling another family member to go to check you out. You know, something's drastically wrong with them, you know. God doesn't want us to do something that we are not. We talk to God when we pray. That's what prayer is. It is communication with God. And we pray as if we're talking to a family member, because we are. We are family. So we pray that way. We are praying as a family member. So a lot of times, remember when you were a kid and you wanted something and you went up and you said, "Dad, can I have the keys to the car?" Casey, I want you to listen to this right now, because you may need to learn this one here. "Dad, can I have the keys to the car? I got this hot date tonight and I need to borrow the car." Okay, Casey, you got that down now. Anyway, you know, we come up like that, you know. "Father, I have this need right now." You know, We're not out to impress him with how well we can recite words in certain format. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 basically also tells us to pray without ceasing. Okay, how in the world do we pray without ceasing? Especially if you're going to go through some of these rituals that some people go through to what they consider prayer. You can't. You flat out cannot. By keeping ritual, you cannot do it without ceasing. You die from lack of sleep. You probably die from starvation before that happened. You know? Because if we're going through ritual, we can't do it without ceasing. Does that mean that you've got to constantly, everything that's in your brain, be a no? But we've got to be in that communication. Because again, that's what prayer is, it's communication. We've got to be in that communication with our Heavenly Father. And we may need to be in communication with him in an instant. Be ready to pray, to communicate with our Heavenly Father at any moment. Doesn't mean you got to be at church and kneeling at the altar is the only place you can pray. And some people seem to think that. Well, I can pray if I get down to that altar, man, I could pray. No, we don't have to be at the altar to pray. We don't have to be in a certain place to pray. You can pray wherever you are. You can communicate with your Father wherever you may be. And some of us may find that there are certain places that we have a time where we can have that basically almost alone time with God. And another place, they said, go into your secret place. Some people, it may be, and for me, one of the places I find that I have a lot of, that I can pray is when I'm driving. And I know you think about, boy, you better be praying when you're out there in that traffic, you know. You know, especially here in Middle Tennessee. I believe some of the craziest drivers in the world live here. So you need to pray. You know. But I find that I have time as I'm driving to pray. And I can be in that communication with my Heavenly Father. And I can tell him what I may have need of. I can tell him what somebody else may have need of that I'm interceding for. I can use that time to communicate with him in other things. And I want to point out right here, praying is not always about asking for something.
Amen.
And sometimes I find as I'm driving, songs will come to my mind. And I'll begin to maybe not pray as we normally think of prayer, but begin to praise and worship God then through a song that may be laid upon my heart. And maybe it's a song I haven't heard in years and years and years, but it comes back to my memory and I begin to think those words and begin to sing those words. So we are to pray without ceasing. In other words, pray whenever you get a chance. And believe me, we can make a lot of opportunity to communicate. I mean, we find opportunity to communicate with everybody else. I mean, we see people walking around with that cell phone glued to their ear. Somebody talked about a few years ago about getting their kids a transplant. They just have that thing transplanted right into their ear, you know, and so they wouldn't have to take it out anymore at all. And you know, things. We can find time to communicate with anybody we want to. We need to find that time to communicate with our Heavenly Father and be in touch with our family. And I believe there are a lot of people out there today that they've got to be in constant communication with somebody. Well, as Christians, we need to be in that constant communication with our Heavenly Father. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which I just read, which says, pray without ceasing, the Complete Jewish Bible reads it this way, pray regularly. Pray regularly. Now, is there a position for prayer? Do we got to, you know, some religions teach that you got to be in a certain position to pray. Some teach that you got to be down on your knees with your face bowed to the floor to be able to pray. Some teach that you've got to be chanting a certain thing, sitting in a certain position to be able to pray. This, that, or the other, you know. And some of us, as we grow older, we find that we can't sit in certain positions anymore, you know. And we'd be in a lot of trouble if we had to do that, to pray. But there is no particular position that you've got to twist yourself into to be able to pray. You can pray walking down the street. You can pray driving your car. You can pray laying in your bed. You can pray wherever you may find yourself. And you find that moment that you can have that alone time. And believe it or not, as much as this world is busy today and everything going on, there are those times that we can find that moment of alone time that we can pray and be in communication with our Heavenly Father. Is there a formula for prayer? Remember I told you this one other religion has 14 steps you got to go through to do a formal prayer? So is there a formula for prayer? Well, I don't know that I've found one yet, because there isn't one. It's just like there is no formula to talk to your husband, wife, father, mother, sister, brother. There's no formula to how you have to talk to them. If you want to talk to them, if they're not there, you call them up on the phone. Are you, however you can get in touch with them. And you get in touch with them and you talk to them. And it's just simple as that. There is an old song, Telephone to Heaven, I think was the name of it. Royal Telephone, I believe is the title. And it talks about there was a telephone to heaven. You know, we can ring him up anytime. You know, and he's always on the line. I know when you make phone calls down here, sometimes the line is busy. Sometimes you don't get a signal. Sometimes there's a problem. But I've got news for you. When you need to get in contact with our Heavenly Father through prayer, there is no thing that blocks it. Now, the devil may attempt to sometimes, and he may try to throw things against you to stop you from praying, but we can get in touch with our Heavenly Father. So we are to pray regularly. We are to pray without a certain type of position that we don't have to get ourselves. There's not a formula. Is there a certain time? I read to you that some of them pray five times a day, certain times of the day. The Jews pray three times a day, basically, plus all the other prayers that they have in there. And no, there's no set time that we have to pray. Some people choose to do it that way, and that's fine. And they may have a particular time that they find that is a good time for them to pray, and they may do it that way on a regular and consistent basis. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if we can't do it, then is there anything wrong? We can find another time. There is no particularly scheduled time. I got news. God's available 24/7. Amen. He's always there. And it's never a busy signal. And there's never a thing about, you know, your calls don't get dropped. Things like that. So there's not a certain time that we have to pray. In fact, if we're praying without ceasing, we're going to find that we're doing it at various and oddball times even sometimes. Sometimes you find that you pray when you wake up during the middle of the night. And you will lay there in your bed and you'll begin to seek God for a particular need, because he may wake you up to pray about something. Well, is prayer complicated? Do you have to learn how to say all of these, thous, and wherefores? No, it's not complicated. In fact, the Bible tells us this in Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 through 5. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive such little child in my name receiveth me. In other words, if a child can do it, we can do it. Now, I know there's some things out there today that you may have to go find a child to do for you, especially when it comes to some of these technical things that they've got anymore. You know, I know a lot of adults, especially older adults, they got to find a grandchild or somebody to show them how to do this, you know. But when it comes to prayer, if a child can pray, we can pray. Surely if they can, we can. Because we have to become as that child. Because we are that child. We are God's child. So teach us how to pray. Well, first of all, when we pray, what did he say? Our Father in heaven. Identify who you're praying to. And I think that's important anymore. Back when some of us were growing up, we knew when we prayed who we were talking about and who we were talking to. And anybody that saw us praying knew who we were talking to. But that's not the case anymore. And you don't know what all kinds of prayers are going. We used to think that prayer only was Christians that prayed. Well, I got news to you. Those who practice witchcraft pray. So we got to identify who we're praying to. Our Heavenly Father, our Father that is in heaven. Identify who we're praying to. And then I think one of the things that we need to do, and I try to usually when I pray to start it off this way, is to give some praise. It says here, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Give him some praise. Father, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for the day that you have given me. Thank him for whatever you can think of to thank him for. Give praise. The Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. So first of all, when we pray, identify who we're praying to and then give him praise. I praise you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. And if your whole prayer consists of nothing more than that, that's fantastic. But then if we go on, if we have a petition, it says here, give us the food we need today. The King James Version says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us those things that we have need of today. State your position or your petition. Father, this is something that I need. Or maybe we're praying for something, somebody else that's sick or has another type of, Father, this is what so-and-so needs. And I'm asking you, Father, take care of that person. Just like earlier in the service, we had prayer for Rebecca. And we said, Father, bring healing into her body. So state your petition. Father, I have this need. The Lord's Prayer goes on to say, forgive us for what we have done wrong, as we too have forgiven those who have wronged us. We need to, when we pray, ask for forgiveness of things that we've done that were not right. Part of the service, David was mentioned. David was a scoundrel in some ways. I mean, he even got a man killed. He didn't actually go out and do it himself, but he arranged for it. So the blood was still on his hands. He did things that were absolutely wrong and were outright sins. And God said, this is a man after my own heart. Because David knew that when he messed up, how to ask God for forgiveness. God, I messed up this time. I blew it big time. Forgive me. Forgive me. And God heard his prayer. God heard his petition. And sometimes when we pray, we need to ask for forgiveness. Because let's face it, we're still flesh and blood, living in a sinful world. And sometimes I don't care how good a super Christian we think we may be, we mess up. We make mistakes. And we do things that are wrong. Father, forgive me. Simple as that. Then we go on. Do not lead us into hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. Seek God's protection. And I got news, we need God's protection more today than we've ever needed it. The evil one is out there. Satan is out there. The Bible tells he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour. And he's not out to devour the sinners. He's got them already. That's table scraps. But he's out to devour the Christian. He's out to eat you alive if he possibly can. So, Father, protect me from the evil one. Keep me from harm. Keep me from getting into things that I shouldn't be into. And he'll help us. And believe me, there's a lot of times we need that today. We need his protection. And then it ends with, for kingship, power, and glory are yours forever. Amen. A little more praise there. God, you're the king. Amen. You got the glory. You got the power. And it is forever. It's not going to cease. Worlds without end, one of the scriptures says, it is not going to ever end. His power, his kingdom will go on for eternity. And then it's closed with amen. And what does that word mean? So be it. So be it. Prayer. Communication with God. We need to be in that constant communication with God. We need to be in that time of fellowship with our Heavenly Father, because that's what it is as well. It's that communication. It's that fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And we need that in our lives today, more so than ever before. And maybe you're listening to me today over the internet or by some other means, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you have felt down within your own being that there is something that is lacking, that there's something that's missing, that emptiness that's there. Well, I'm here to tell you, you have a Heavenly Father, and he wants to hear from you today. He wants you to call him. He wants you to communicate with him. And you can start that by saying, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And I recognize the fact that Jesus, your only begotten Son, died on the cross of Calvary that I could be free from my sin and that I could become your child. And I invite him into my heart right now. And help me, Father, to live that life that you want me to live. Help me to stay in that communication with you. Or maybe you're listening and you've kind of, well, messed up. You've been a Christian, but you just kind of let down. And you're straggling along and you're just barely making it. Got news, you need to get back in communication with your Heavenly Father. You need to say, Father, forgive me. Father, help me to be the person, the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that you want me to be. And you know what? When you turn your life over to him and ask him to help you to be what he wants you to be, he will do it. It may not be what you want to be, but ask him to help you to be what he wants you to be, and he'll do it. Father, today I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your word. And Father, I just pray as this word goes out today, Father, that it would touch hearts and lives. And Father, that through this, some people will realize that they need Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Others will realize they need to get back in touch with you. They need to communicate on that regular basis. And Father, that you would stir up, Father, a burning, a desire in their hearts. I thank you for what you're going to do now, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.